Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So there you have it. The president opening parliament. What did you make of that speech? We'll try and get some analysis. We'll speak to Labour. We'll speak to other quarters as well. Netlac. We'll speak to other interested people. But I would actually like to hear more from you. What did you make of what the president had to say? My first take of what I think the president had to say. I think this is very much a business-centric speech. I think we are starting to see a shift. A lot of focus in trying to get what he's terming inclusive growth project. This is an inclusive growth project, according to the president, and there will be a lot of focus in generating, business in this country. But how he feels he's going to do that is to bring up infrastructure. He says this is going to be a construction site. You will be seeing all sorts of a construction site type of barricades all over the place. So that's the sense one gets, that this is going to be the kind of government where we are seeing a lot of construction of roads, of dams, he says of houses, that we want to see, because you know how this government has been delayed in doing that. And then something very interesting, which I thought is absolutely new, a holding company. So Enterprises is now going to move centrally to the presidency, and there will be a fund holding company. So this is interesting. We're going to speak to many, many stakeholders about that, what they make of that. And essentially, this is something that they've seen in other countries as well. But this is something very interesting that I think we need to talk about some more. But I want to quickly get a reaction from Kosatu. Matthew Parks is on the line with us. Thank you so much for making time for us, Mr. Parks. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thank you for having us.
Just overall reaction to the speech.
No, there's many progressive commitments we've been calling for Kosatu, respecting workers' rights, improving workers' living conditions, expanding the presidential employment program to help young people find a way into the labor market, turning the SRD grant into a universal basic income grant, rolling out the national health insurance, the massive infrastructure program, intervening municipalities, reinforcing our law enforcement, accelerating land reform. So all of these are good commitments. We need to see concrete numbers attached in the budget speech, because it would be a tragedy if we can have these progressive commitments made by the president and then Treasury misbehave and pickpockets them on the way to the budget speech in October. So we really need to see concrete resourcing there, so otherwise they won't be able to be achieved. We also need to see Parliament playing its role in holding the state at all levels, from departments to municipalities to entities to SOEs, accountable for their role. Because there's a good commitment there, $900 billion infrastructure programs, 14,000 kilometers of new transmission lines for ESCOM, 170 new transformers. All these can be game changers, but then we need to see the money and we need to see implementation.
So overall, you are quite okay with what we've seen? You think it's progressive?
Overall, he set the right tones. Mm-hmm. I think for us it's about implementation. Many of the things are not necessarily new things, but it's saying we need to make sure we achieve them. Some of them are also quite a stronger emphasis and focal point. And we are happy with that, because we wanted to be a very focused speech about fixing the state, growing the economy. That for us is the fundamental issues. But we need to see a bit more concrete details in the medium-term budget standard and individual budgets, departmental budgets and plans. Say, how are you going to achieve these, and by when are you going to achieve them? So, for example, the commitment to ending pit latrines at school, the national scandal. We need a clear date. When are we going to be done with it? I think that for us will be the ultimate moment of truth.
I mean, you've just spoken about things that you think are quite good. Any red flags for you? Of course, as you said, all of this we need to see more detail. We need to see it more fleshed out. But any red flags for you?
The red flags really was about rands and cents. We really had hoped to say on school, particular teams, for example, we're going to allocate X amount of money, and this is the date by which we're going to resolve it. We had hoped to see in the industrial master plans, we're going to allocate X amount of money, mm-hmm. and this is the kind of output we hope to see them achieving it. That's always been a frustration with the State of the Nation addresses, or in this case, the OPA address, because the objectives are good, they're progressive. But we need to know the rands and cents so we can be sure what's the impact. And we really need Parliament to play its role in holding the various ministers and mayors and premiers and CEOs accountable. Because what we don't want to see in October is money not spent. objective not achieved. That'll be a tragedy if that happens. Mm.
They've alluded to the fact that they want to have a committee within the presidency that's going to do a more overall oversight in all these projects, some centralized type of system where they will look at progress of the issues that you've raised, you know, a building of schools, infrastructure, pitfalls that you've just mentioned, the pit toilets being eradicated and so on, because obviously we've been shifting that date for a long time now, the deadline. Do you think that's the way to go?
I think as long as it works, it's the way to go. Mm. At times we've seen a lack of coordination, departments operating in silos, municipalities being allowed to get away with murder, in effect. So we need to see the presidency really cracking the whip, and when ministers or mayors or premiers or CEOs fail, must be shown the door. And when people misbehave, they must be shown the nearest correctional services facilities. So we really need the government to be decisive and to move with speed. We just don't have the luxury of time anymore.
They're speaking of, I suppose, reassessing, the workers and their skills. And it does seem to me like there's going to be quite a massive project in trying to see who is skilled, particularly in municipalities, and who should and should not be there. Is that a concern for you?
No, we've long called for the skills of workers to be invested in, to be upgraded. The economy is not static. Technology evolves. If we want to improve productivity, we need to do so. And that's critical to making sure workers remain employed today and also have the skills, the capacity that jobs of tomorrow require. We can't afford for skills of workers to become stagnant, and those workers then end up being vulnerable to being dismissed. That we can't afford. We have the money in the CETA, the skills fund, but often it's not spent properly. Often it's stolen by corrupt facilitators or trainers, and that we need to make sure that it's dealt with, so we invest in the skills globally competitive and create decent jobs.
Mr. Box, did you get the sense he's saying upskilling skill workers, upskilling workers, or bringing in workers? And that's why I ask whether you're concerned about it, because if there's going to be an entire program of bringing in new and replacing the current workforce, that must be a concern.
Now look, workers can't be replaced. Mm. They're employed there. It wouldn't make sense. No sober employer will simply throw workers into the street. You have your labor laws protect workers' rights. We have the skills funds available. Yes, you may now and then need to bring in certain specialized skills, an engineer, a scientist, an electrician. We may not know how to skill sufficient numbers, but ultimately the most valuable product of any workplace, public or private, is the workers. And we're not worried about that. But we think the president is clear that they want to invest in the skills of workers. And we've seen remarkable progress in SARS, for example, or ESCOM. When we treat workers decently, we respect them, we fill in critical vacancies, invest in capacity, we've seen positive turnarounds. That needs to be replicated across all the public sector and public service and municipalities.
Matthew Parks, thank you so much for your time. That's a KwaSatu parliamentary coordinator from KwaSatu, as I said, and that's a reaction from KwaSatu. Just your reaction, please. I'd love to hear from you. I just want to go through some of the things that I think the president pointed out that I think are quite key. As I said, very big emphasis on inclusive growth. Everywhere he seems to be talking about inclusive growth. He's also mentioned the public-private partnership, saying that, you know, it's a program that obviously had kicked off and then lagged behind. He really is very keen to make sure that there's a lot of public-private partnerships. And he mentioned this, by the way, when he was speaking about NHI, saying, yes, there's a lot of, people are not quite happy and there are a lot of debates around NHI. However, there needs to be some sort of meeting of minds. And he says this public-private partnership is one of the things that needs to happen. Because, I get the sense he wants the NHI to work. So one of the things that came through as well is a coordination of efforts, saying that government needs to make sure that in as much as there are wonderful programs everywhere, often they are working in silos. And so they are going to be really monitoring this from the presidency to make sure that these, pockets of excellence sometimes, which often work in silos, can work together at the same time. So really interesting. As I said, love to hear from you. 086-000-0959, 063-688-0959. That's where you can send those voice notes.
And if you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.